ॐ भर्ताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्बत्वामनुसन्धतामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी. Chapter 5, verse 10. Pramanyadhaya karmani, Pramanyadhaya karmani, Sangam tyaktva karoti yaha. Sangam tyaktva karoti yaha. Lipyate nasa papena, Lipyate nasa papena, Padma patram nivambasa, Padma patram nivambasa. Brahmani, Ardhaya, Karmani, Sangam tyaktva, Karoti yaha. Lipyate nasapapena padma patram eva ambasa. He was talking about all of this is about the jnani and the karma yogi, so this is more in emphasizing the karma yogi, but karma yoga buddhi, that ishvara arpana buddhi, where I everything that I do is as a worship to the Lord, recognition of my relationship with Bhagavan. So, Brahmani, Adaya, having offered to Brahman, to Ishwar in the sense, because we're including the creation, so Shankara says, Brahmani Ishware Adaya Nikshipya, having given over to Brahman, to Ishwar. See, this is another thing. When we say Ishwara or Brahman, Brahman is Ishwara. Right? Brahman is Ishwara. There is no other self. There is no, Ishwara doesn't have any other self but Brahman. So Brahman is Ishwara. But when we say Brahman, when we say Ishwara, we're including the Maya Upadhi. So if you say Brahman, then you have to know that the Maya Upadhi belongs to Brahman. It doesn't belong to anybody else. Right? There's no other place for that Maya Upadhi to say. So if you say offering everything to Brahman, you're including the whole creation, because all that is here really is Brahman. Right? If I look at if I have a clay pot, right, and I'm offering, if I say, I'm offering everything to the clay, here's a clay pot here, I'm offering everything to the clay, right? I'm also offering everything to the pot, because the clay is in the form of the pot and there's nothing there but clay. Right? So I'm offering everything to the pot. But if I say I'm offering everything to the clay, I'm offering everything to the truth of the pot, right? And so if I say I'm offering everything, I'm making an offering to the Lord, but I say I'm making an offering to Brahman, I'm offering to Ishwara, whose truth is Brahman, to Ishwara, who is nothing but Brahman. So it's very, somehow it's very profound to say it that way. So Brahmani Adhaya, offering to Brahman, Karmani, karmas, all of actions, sangam tyaktva, having given up attachment, karoti yaha, the one who does karmas, karoti means does, karoti yaha he who, that person who does, karoti yaha, karmas, sangam tyaktva, having given up all attachment. Attachment to the results, it's not that you don't know you're doing an action, this is another important point. We're doing an action for a particular result. Nobody just does an action or does a karma having no idea of the reason that they're doing the karma. We know why we're doing an action. We have a result in mind. Right? Otherwise, you're just crazy. You're just doing actions and you have no clue what the reason that you're doing the action. We know why we're doing an action. We have a result in mind. But there's a giving up of an attachment to those results of the action. Why? Because I take the results as with the prasada buddhi. I take the results as being from Ishvara, as being from the Lord, because the whole Gita is on this. As a karta, say if I take myself as a karma yogi, that kartvatvam bhoktvatvam, I take myself to be an doer and an enjoyer, and say, the Lord will say, you do. You have control over your action, but you don't have control over the karmapala. I do an action for a given result, but I'm not omnipotent. I'm not omniscient to have control over the results of my actions. So I do the action accepting the results of my action with that prasada buddhi as coming from Ishvara. So that's one thing. So that sangam tyaktva, giving up attachment to the result, means I know that I don't have control over the result. I take the result as from Ishvara. I take the result of the action as from Ishvara, and I accept it with that prasada buddhi. I accept that because my primary relationship in terms of this creation, the primary relationship is with Ishvara. It is with the creation. It is with this creation as being Ishvara. It is with Ishvara's order. That's my primary attachment. And in terms of karmapala, the results of my action, the primary karmapala that I am interested in as a mumukshu, as one who is seeking liberation, is antakarma shuddhi. So that means that what is primary to me is not the result of the action, but it's the antakarma shuddhi which I gain from the attitude with which I do the action. So for a karma yoga, for a mumukshu who is working on gaining the antakarma shuddhi and the maturity that is necessary to have nishta in this knowledge, then what is primary to me is not the result of the action which I'm going after, but the way in which I do the action, the way that I approach the action, so that I can gain the antakarma shuddhi, the purity of mind that allows for me to have nishta in this knowledge. So that's when he says, offering everything to Ishvara, tad artam karma in the bhasha. Shankara says, tad artam karma karomi. I do this karma for your sake. It means keeping you in view. I do tad artam means for your sake. Karma karomi, I do this karma for your sake. So see, the whole thing is in relationship to Ishvara. Everything that I do is really for this knowledge and for antakarna shuddhi. So giving up the attachment to the karma pala, then what he says, lipyate nasapapena, that person who does in this way, that person is not stained by papa. That person's not a cruise. Lipyate means to be stained, to be sullied, to be stained by papa. He gives an example. Padapatram iva ambasa, just like the leaf of a lotus by water. It's a famous example. It's used throughout the Shastra. The lotus, you know, which rises up in the swamp, in the sludge, is a flower that is sitting on water. Now the unusual thing about the lotus leaf is that when water hits the leaf, it runs off the leaf with as though it balls up, you know, and just runs off the leaf without touching it. So they'll use this as an example, just like the lotus leaf is not touched by water. Right? If water is splashed onto the leaf, it's not touched by the water. The water just simply trickles off, you know, as though not touching the leaf at all. So like that, for the one who has that karma yoga buddhi, not approaching the world in terms of my karmapala, I'm doing this so that I can have this, so that I can be happy. That's not the drishti. That's not the vision or the way, the commitment that I have in the way that I relate to the world. For that person is not touched by papa at all. Why? Because there's nothing I'm not relating in the world in such a way that I need this to be happy. That's not my drishti. My drishti is that I want to face my life and everything that my life has to offer. My life means your prarabdha. I face it with that karma yoga buddhi. I face it with an attitude of dharma. I see what is dharmic, what is proper in the situation. Objectively, what is being called upon? How am I being called upon to be in this situation? What is the dharma in the situation? And that's what I do. That's what I want to do. Because what is most important to me is the shanti, the antakarana shuddhi, that dharma brings. You see, Swamiji will say Ishwara and dharma are one and the same. How to know Ishwara? What is Ishwara here? Just dharma. It is the order. It is the order that I find myself in. This is Ishwara. And so I... What's that noise? It's next door?
Okay.
Okay. And so I, accepting Ishwara, then I, my relationship...
It's not the tape recorder.
It's not the tape recorder.
No.
No, it's a shawa, somebody.
Okay.
Somebody is a tape recorder. Hundreds of times.
It's your pipe.
It's the water pipes.
How many times?
The water pipes.
Sorry you brought it up. It's just a sound I haven't really heard before.
Did you see your water
pipe? Yeah, right. Okay.
Sorry. No, I just haven't heard the sound before.
Yeah, no, that's
yeah,
fine.
Okay.
Just we're all on a tangent about it.
Yeah, all right. Never mind. Okay. So anyway, it's a beautiful verse to appreciate. It's a beautiful verse to appreciate because it really...
She turned off the tap. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's so profound, really. It is what you want out of the situation that determines how you're going to be in that particular situation. If what you want is an object that you need so that it'll make you happy, then the world is going to divide up into the things that help you get that, and the people that take that away, the people that threaten it, and so like, all kinds of emotions then are generated, but they're generated because of your relationship to your situation. That's what generates the chaos. But it also, say if what you want out of the situation is antakarana shuddhi, from a mukshu, what I want is freedom. I want to be free. I want my mind to be free. You know, I want to be free of the samsara, actually, that's actually what I want. And then for me, then, a karma yoga buddhi, you know, where I see this as Ishwara's order. And what is important to me is to do what I'm called upon to do in this particular situation for the sake of Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan calling upon me to do in this situation? And I take the results of my actions with that prasada buddhi. With that attitude, there is no papa at all. There's only prasada buddhi because I'm accepting the results of my actions as prasad. And my drishti, my vision toward what I really want out of this is that karma yoga buddhi attitude, that prasada buddhi attitude. That's what I want. Because what I want is antakarana shuddhi. What I want is jnana nishtha. I have vairagya. that's very important, you know, this adhikaritvam. To say I have vairagya means, and our vairagya continues to increase, it continues to mature. You say you have vairagya, that as you watch in yourself the vairagya, the dispassion increasing, what does it mean? Is that you know, you don't ask the universe to give you what it doesn't have. You don't ask an object any longer to be what it can't be, or a person to be what they can't be. as though this person or this object or this situation can make you happy. It is the biggest, the saddest illusion. It's an illusion. The person or the situation or the world doesn't have the capacity. It's not that it's being mean. It doesn't have that capacity to make you happy. It does have the capacity to delude you. It has the capacity to delude you by... That's my little tibby. It has the capacity to delude you by... Because you project your ananda onto the situation, and then when the situation works out, your mind becomes calm. And so in that calm mind, then you say, I am happy and you've made me happy. It's a total illusion. It's a total illusion. But what about when you see through that illusion? That is vairagya. Right? You understand. And so then you don't... And you understand again and again and again. All right. You have to be good, though. Peter will take care of you. Okay. See, the thing is, you understand it again and again and again. Because the universe won't let you off the hook. See, that's the thing. The universe will continue to teach you this. And the reason it will continue to teach you this is because that's the fact of the universe. That's how the universe it is. It's not that it's trying to teach you. It's not saying, I think I'm going to teach. I think I'll give you a special lesson today. It's that that special lesson is the reality. Right? And so eventually you mature into that recognition and you stop asking the universe to give you what it can't give you. You stop asking because you've been exposed to knowledge. If you haven't been exposed to knowledge, if the vairagya isn't there, then you keep asking and keep asking and keep feeling disappointed and keep being angry at the universe because it's not doing what it's supposed to do for you. You know, you can get bitter and resentful and so many things that can happen. But there comes a time when, with your knowledge, as this knowledge is being unfolded, and you see over and over again, yeah, the fact is, as you're being exposed to knowledge, you do come to this vairagya even before knowledge, but you don't have a solution. That's why the mumukshu term happens. But even with the vairagya, and now you're being exposed to knowledge, you know, and you know what the truth is, but just habitually your mind keeps going out and going out and going out again, and beating its head against the wall, and getting hurt, and getting hurt, and getting hurt, and getting rageful, and getting resentful, because things aren't going your way. But you know what? It isn't even, that's not what's going on. It's not that things aren't going your way. It's that you want things to go in a particular way. Right? You want things, well, in that way, things aren't going your way. You want things to go in a particular way because you believe that if it goes in that particular way, that will make you happy. Right? And so what happens is when it does go in that particular way, your mind relaxes and you're happy. But what you start figuring out the illusion of that. You have projected your happiness on the situation. The situation works out in the way you want. And so now your desire is fulfilled. And so at that moment, you don't have any desire. And so your mind is at deep peace. And so you feel, all is well with me. And then you want to hang on to the situation. That is the illusion. As I see this over and over and over again, mm-hmm. Without any exception. See, that's the other thing. There are no exceptions. Mm-hmm. You know? That helps. That helps you, that there are no exceptions. And so finally you realize, you know, this is like Vidyaranya in Panchana, she says, this is a pain in the butt. He calls it a klesha. It's an irritant.
Stress.
It's irritating. The desire itself is an irritant. And so then what you do is when you understand that, because you understand the illusion, then you just let that desire be, but it's very easy for you to have the prasada buddhi. And let that desire be, let it run its course, let me be dharmic in this situation, you know, and accept the results of the action from Bhagavan. That becomes very, very simple to do as I mature into this knowledge. Because I know that the source of the ananda, the wholeness that I seek, is my own being. And then, what is the best way to be, that being the fact, what is the best way for me to be in this creation? how to negotiate, as a jiva, how to negotiate properly in this creation, that being the fact, in a way that doesn't rub Bhagavan, dharmically. Let me be in this creation. Dharma is I have highest regard for Dharma. It's like saying I have highest regard for Bhagavan. I be in this creation in the most in the most appropriate way possible. Not so that I can fulfill a desire, but so that I can my behavior can be pleasing to the Lord. That's how the language they use. But what do they mean? That I am doing what is called upon me by Ishwara without so much Jiva Srishti. You know, there's Ishwara Srishti, Ishwara's creation, the objective creation. And then there's the Ajnani, the Jiva, who doesn't have knowledge, that projects their creation upon that. And the Jiva, that's called Jiva Srishti. The Srishti means creation, the Jiva's creation. So I project the Jiva Srishti, which is my what? Raga Dvesha. I project my likes and dislikes, my Raga Dvesha, onto Ishwara's creation. And then that means I have a schema of what is good for me, what is not good for me. These things I like, these things I don't like. These things I have nivritti, I run away from these things. These things I have pravritti, I go toward these things. So this projection of raga dvesha then, these make me happy, these don't make me happy, will conflict with, can conflict with, dharma. What is being called upon me in the situation? What if what is being called upon me in the situation is not what I want to do? What is right to do, what is appropriate to do, is not what I want to do. That's where the conflict comes in. That's where all the tension comes in. What I want to happen is not what happens. Right? Tension, conflict. What about if what I want to happen is what is dharmic? What if what I want is antakarana shuddhi? What if what I want is titiksha, the ability to accommodate? You know, what I want is shraddha, or what I want is all of these various shama, dhamma, upadati, titiksha. This is what I want. Are these qualities? I want these qualities of mind so that my mind is not disturbed by the creation. You know, that's what I want. Then the whole orientation is different. And I'm not affected by papa. Papa means the agitation and the pain that papa brings. Papa punya, punya brings peace and pleasure and happiness. Papa brings sorrow and agitation and worry and all of these type of things. They're all papa. So for the one who has this karma yoga buddhi, they're not affected by this papa. It means the results of agitation and pain and peace. Because I don't relate to the world. This is karma yoga and we're not talking about jnana even. I don't relate to the world in a way that causes this type of emotions. Let's give the next verse. Kayena manasa buddhya. Kayena manasa buddhya. Kevalai rindrayai rapi. Kevalai rindrayai rapi. Yogina karma kurvanti. Yogina karma kurvanti. Sangam tektvat mashuddhiye. Sangam tektvat mashuddhiye. He goes on with this. Kayena, manasa, buddhya, kevalaihi, indriyaihi, api, yoginaha, karma, kurvanti, sangam, tyaktva, atma shuddhiye. It says, kayena, by the body, manasa, by the mind, buddhya, by the buddhi, by the intellect, kevalaihi indriyaihi api, and by the indriyas alone. Kevala means only. So you could say, only by the body, only by the mind, only by the buddhi, only by the indriyas. These are all that we have, actually. But that kevala will be important. Only by these instruments of our action and our knowledge, the yoginaha karma kurvanti, the yogi, the karma yogi, that yogi does karma, they do their karma, okay? Sangam tyaktva, having given up attachment, sangam is attachment, tyaktva, having given up attachment, atma-shuddhiye, for atma-shuddhi, for antikarna-shuddhi, atma-shuddhiye, shuddhi means purity, purity of atma means not the self is already pure, so we're not doing something for purifying the self. Here, atma means the antikarna for the mind, antikarna-shuddhi. So all of my actions are for antikarna-shuddhi alone. That kevala, this is for the yoga, the karma yoga, karma yogi. Kevalahi, by the mind, by the body, by the sense organs, by the organs of action, alone means without raga dvesha. You see, how else are we going to do any action? Why do you have to say with these alone? There isn't anything else. He's given everything by the body, by the mind, by the buddhi, by the indriyas, the karma indriyas, the jnana indriyas, the organs of action, the sense organs. So this is what I have as an individual, whether I'm a yogi or an ajnani or a samsari. This is what I do actions with. This is what I see with my sense organs. I do actions with my karma indriyas. I do actions with my body and my mind. That's what I have. But he says, so why the kevalaihi? Means by these alone. Means I do actions. My actions are not motivated by raga dvesha, by my likes and dislikes. That's not why what is motivating my actions is what? Antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind, dharma, Ishvara arpana buddhi. Ishvara arpana buddhi means Ishvara the Lord. Arpana means worship. Yeah. Worship of the Lord. With that mindset, which the actions I do are for the sake of Ishvara. Right? As a puja, when you think of how do I worship the Lord through my actions? How to worship the Lord through my actions? It's through dharma. You see this as a manifestation. You see this Ishvara as a manifestation of dharma. Okay? And so by performing my actions with dharma, dharmically, that is the Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. Accepting everything as that prasada buddhi, that's Ishvara Arpana. That's the Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. And so it's with that, for the sake of antakarna shuddhi, for that is what motivates my actions, not raga dvesha. The samsari, means the ajnani. Actions are motivated by raga dvesha. Raga dvesha means likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes means I want this so that I can be happy. That is a raga. That's the desire template. I want this so that I can be happy. This will contribute to my well-being. I don't want this because I want to be happy. I don't want this because that will make me unhappy. Right? So this is the motivating factor for a samsari. For any samsari, I'm not using that negatively, I'm just saying that is the motivating factor for a person. In the world, I do things for my happiness and I move away from things for my happiness. Right? The reason I move away is because I think this situation will make me unhappy. I'm out of here. This situation will make me happy. I go toward it. That's it. It's very, very simple. And then the billions of things and situations in the world that are neutral, I don't pay any attention to. You take those completely for granted. That's the samsara buddhi. The buddhi of a mumukshu is much, much different than that. The karma yoga buddhi is not that at all. It is not about raga dvesha. I've already understood. This is viveka vairagya. I've already understood that raga dvesha does not give anything except momentary glimpses of peace. Right? If I get away from a bad situation, I have a moment of relief. If I get a good situation, I have a moment of relief. Very simple. That's it. It's a moment here, moment here. But nothing lasting. Are you okay with cats? Okay. But nothing lasting. Yeah? And so say if I've understood it. Say I've understood that. Then that isn't the force of my... That isn't what I want. So my raga dvesha is different. My desire is different. There's a desire. There's a desire there. What is the desire? The desire is for moksha. And along the way, what do I need for moksha is antakarna shuddhi. So until my, what is moksha? Moksha, liberation, is knowledge. Because I'm, the self is already liberated. So there's no gap. There's no gap between moksha and knowledge. Moksha is knowledge. But then to gain knowledge, I have to have a mind that's available for that knowledge. And so I put myself in a situation of shravana, right? Edward?
It's shravana, but I think she wants to go outside. She was staring at the door.
Okay. Well, it's a pretty far drop.
I was listening well. I just looked at her for a second.
Oh, Chibi. I'm sorry, but he just doesn't want to be in the class.
I'm sorry. She's one of those.
Don't come back, okay?
Yeah, I got in trouble. Jimmy got me in trouble.
I don't know how to handle little Tibby. I love her now. She's such a sweetie. But she doesn't know how to just hang out in the class. She has to learn that. Okay. Oh, well.
Sit in moksha, my mind needs to be available.
What?
Sit.
Oh, you bring me back? Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just wanted to find
out
where you're
going. This is where I'm going. Yeah. There's a relationship between karma yoga and jnanam. The karma yoga buddhi, okay? Karma yoga buddhi gives antakarana shuddhi. It gives purity of mind. Karma yoga gives purity of mind. It doesn't give knowledge. Karma yoga is not a sadhana for knowledge. What is a sadhana for knowledge, right, is shravana, manana, nididhyasana, being exposed to the teaching. Is the sadhana, that's what gives me knowledge. It's called, in Sanskrit, we call that the upayanishta. What is it that needs to be become clear? Word clarity in terms of moksha. What is the direct sadhana for moksha? That's called upayanishta. It's shravana, manana, nididhyasana. Shravana is listening to the teaching, understanding what the Shastra has to say. Manana is relieving all of the doubts of why couldn't it be this way or why couldn't it be that way. That's manana. Nididhyasana is contemplation, to be able to really own up, helps me to own up what I understand at the time of teaching. This is the sadhana for knowledge. This gives knowledge. Knowledge is moksha, right? Because I recognize that the self, that I am the self, I am what I seek. The self that I'm seeking is what I am. It's not going to be a gain of something else. So knowledge is moksha. Moksha is knowledge. But to gain this knowledge, I have to have a mind that's available. Right? And that requires antakarana shuddhi. Right? And antakarana shuddhi, you know, knowledge helps with antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind. Knowledge will help that, definitely. But the karma yoga buddhi is what is an attitude, the way to approach life. You know, my prarabdha. How to approach life, with what attitude to approach life that will give me shanti right away, without knowledge. It will give me shanti. Right? It will give me a peace. And with that attitude, as I gain knowledge, that attitude is the attitude of a jnani anyway. Right? The attitude of a jnani is there's a very thin line between the attitude of a karma yogi and the attitude of a jnani. It's almost exactly the same. This is it's the same, it's not the same. For the jnani, the one who has jnana-nishtha and is clear, has clarity, for the jnani, there's no kartritvam, bhoktritvam. There's no doership, enjoyership for myself. I am always the same. I'm the Atma. My being isn't ever changing by what is going on in the creation. I never change. I know myself clearly. That's the jnani. The jnani also knows all of this is Ishvara. Right? Everything that happens here is Ishvara. So the relationship always is only with Ishvara. This body, mind, sense organs is Ishvara and is relationship and is in relationship to Ishvara. It is Ishvara and it is in relationship to the whole. It's the part is always in relationship to the whole, but the whole thing is Ishvara and I am Brahman. That is clear for the jnani. For the mumukshu, who is gaining this knowledge, that is becoming clear. But the kartritvam and bhoktritvam, the doer, that sense of doership and enjoyership is still there because a person is gaining knowledge. So as I'm gaining knowledge, what to do, how to be in this world, with what type of attitude, you know? And the attitude is, I do actions. I want this. If you say, I want this and I want that, I do, I'm doing actions. But what is primary for me is dharma, because I want antakarana shuddhi, and the way that I receive the results of my actions is as prasad from the Lord, right? Because I see myself as the karta, as the doer, but I see Bhagavan as the karmapala datta. The karmapala datta means the one who gives the fruits of my actions. So I have that continual relationship with Bhagavan. Dharma, I see Ishvara as dharma, and my focus is on I do the action and I accept the results as prasad from the Lord. When I'm doing it with that, even though for the ajnani or the mumukshu, the kartritvam and bhoktritvam is there, the doership and enjoyership is still there. The way I'm relating to the creation, what do you say? Takes the sting out of that relationship. It takes the sting out because even though the kartritvam and bhoktritvam is there, the whole relationship is with a prasada buddhi to the Lord, which is this creation. Mm. So if I accept the karmapala as prasad, like I would in a temple, when after being at the puja, the pujari comes and offers that prasad, I accept that, whatever it is, whether it's some water, you know, or some chandan, or a little flower, or a full meal, or a banana, or whatever it is, you know, all of it is accepted as a gift from Bhagavan. And so if I have that relationship with the creation, that neutralizes the raga dvesha. The raga dvesha is no longer in operation, in a sense. That isn't what's primary for me. That gives me a shanta buddhi. That gives me a peace, very similar to the peace that the jnani enjoys. What's the difference? There's very little difference in terms of the peace. The only thing is that peace that I'm that the karma yogi is enjoying is a peace of mind that is brought about by attitude. And it's a steady, beautiful peace of mind brought about by attitude. The jnani has that same peace of mind, but the peace that they enjoy is the peace of the self, which is not brought about by attitude. And that is a big difference. You see? Like if the way I behave or the attitude with which I face the world will give me shanti, will give my mind peace, the attitude with which I approach the world, that karma yoga buddhi. So I have a peaceful mind. But for the jnani has, of course, that peaceful mind, because that karma yoga buddhi is natural. Right? But the peace that the jnani enjoys is the peace of the atma, the shanti of the atma, which has been recognized. And that shanti, that peace, is present whether or not the mind is at peace. It's a peace that is not dependent upon anything. It's not even dependent on the mind being in a particular way. The samsari, the peace of the samsari, depends upon the mind being peaceful. right? That's the only peace you know. The peace of the karma yogi, right? The peace of the karma yogi is dependent on the mind being peaceful. The peace of the jnani is dependent on anything, because amidst the creation, whether it be the external creation or the internal creation, I am peace. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. There's nothing my mind can do about it. There's nothing that the vagaries of the mind or the emotions of the mind or the creation, nobody can do anything about it. I am peace, period, amidst this creation. Right? So the one who sees so many, we'll see so many verses like this. The one who sees inaction in action. That's one way of saying it. I am not stained or touched in any way by the moods, the emotions, the thoughts of my mind, or the moods, emotions, thoughts, or perceptions of the world. I am there in the middle of it. You know, I am there in the middle of it. And that is the absolute shanti. It's absolute shanti. The karma yogi enjoys relative shanti, but it's a beautiful shanti because it's so stable. The difference between a karma yogi and a samsari is the samsari is shanti is based on the fulfillment of desire. For the karma yogi, it's not based on the fulfillment of desire. It's based upon accepting everything that the creation has to offer as prasad. Now, if I accept everything that the creation has to offer as prasad, even with the mind, inner creation, means my mind, my psyche, my unconscious, all this has to offer, if I accept it as prasad, then where's the agitation? And so it's a much deeper, much more stable shanti, right? Because I'm actually relating to the universe in the way that it actually is. See that? Mm-hmm. I'm relating the way that it actually is. And so that my mind enjoys a very deep peace. But that's not as free. It's fine and good, and it gives the mind what it needs, a deep peace that is just a hair's breadth away from knowledge. And you're gaining knowledge all the while anyway. You're gaining knowledge all the while anyway. But your mind continues to own up that knowledge. And the karma yoga buddhi is just a hair's breadth away from recognizing the shanti that is the atma, that is myself, right, that is lighting up that mind. The shanti that lights up the mind is free of the mind. That the self that lights up the mind, that is the self of the mind, is free of the mind. And once that has been differentiated, you're free. Because you are free. Because you've recognized I, this kind of conscious being that I am, is never changed or never touched in any way. And that is me. That is my center. And then the mind, right, which has this now, has this karma yoga buddhi, is no problem anyway. It's no problem anyway. Right? And then now resting in me, it lives out its prarabdha. What comes, comes. And I engage in the world that is my prarabdha. I engage in it. And as Ishwara, I'm not asking anything of it except to do what is here for me to do, which is plenty.
Which is what?
Plenty.
Oh.
What every moment by moment by moment what you're called on to do is enormous, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We're all very busy. Mm-hmm. Very busy. But this is our life, and this is what our duty is in this particular situation. What your part is in this play. And so we do it to the best of our ability. Just want me to do this, you know. I just do my best. With what's right in front of me, that's enough. That's enough. It's right in front of me. I just do my best, moment to 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 moment. That's it. Very, very simple. And those moments will never stop coming. It's another thing. You can count on it. Right? You can count on those moments. This one, and then this one, and then this one, this one, this one, this one. There will always be one there. There will always be a situation, and you just do your best in that situation. Nothing more than that. It's very simple. So nice when we think about it. But it's simple and nice when raga dvesha is not what's the motivating factor. When this world is a sadhana for my jnana nishtha, it's a sadhana for antakarana shuddhi, then all of that becomes very easy, you know. And even my raga dvesha, those are sadhana. Those are also not outside of this life is a sadhana, my own raga dvesha, whatever my mind's throwing up, there's nothing wrong. It's a sadhana. This is it. This is what I'm dealing with. I did the best I can with it. That's all. See, behind all of it is that karma yoga buddhi. So that everything, including everything that you think that you shouldn't be doing, that also is okay. That's also your sadhana. You see what I mean? It's very important. And where is it? Here. In the first verse, in verse 10 that we did, Shankara says like this. He says, giving up attachment to, he goes like this. Mokshepi pale sangam tyaktva karoti yaha karmani. The one who does karma, having given up attachment to the fruits, even moksha. You do your karma, having given up attachment to the results, meaning everything you take as prasad, to all of the fruits. You even give up the attachment to moksha. Yeah. Because you accept everything as Ishwara. You know, because say you say, this has to happen in order for me to be liberated. Or this has to happen in order for me to be liberated. Then you've got, your raga dvesha has come. And so you have to give up everything to Ishwara. That's the idea. You'll get moksha there. Do they see what I mean? Okay, we'll stop here.
Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnamadavchate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om